October the 29th, 1984, we're in Wrentham, Massachusetts, for a celebration of our great Aunt Elsie's 99th birthday, which was actually 5 days ago. Present, Pat Winter Hatch speaking, my brother Robert Winter, and our sister Nancy Winter Hatch. I'm coming in from Texas, Robert from California, Nancy from New York. We also have lots of other relatives present who you will probably hear on the tape sometime later in this tape. Is there any connection?
I don't know whether they named the town or not. I never learned that.
I don't know. I suppose we could check in a history book of Mansfield, you know, or find out something about the history of Mansfield, Mass, to see if there's a connection.
The two older brothers came first. My father, I think, didn't come until several years after they did. Mm-hmm. They may have, but there's quite a bit of town there. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was small. But it must have been.
How many brothers were there?
There were four.
And three of them came?
Three came.
And Marty's was the other one?
Marty's grandfather married the daughter of the haberdasher over there, and they inherited the store, so they stayed for the
So they stayed.
There was no particular work over there. I said there was nothing but gardening in the city. They were all gardeners. And it was just after the war, you see, it was about 1865, I guess, I came over.
I wish you could have met the elderly cousins.
Such a shortage of
Agnes and Tina. They were delightful.
Over here. Something all made out pretty well, man.
I wonder if anybody knows the name of the ship that they came over on.
My father went back and married and brought my mother over. She was seasick always, so she didn't know what the ship was.
She probably could have cared less. She was the daughter of the head gardener at Scoon Palace, wasn't she?
Yes.
I think they must have had an understanding or something before they left.
My father was working there, too.
Mm-hmm. He worked there.
Oh, yes. They had known each other, of course. Or he came over here, of course.
Yeah.
But she was quite young then.
She was the only child, too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, her parents must have been
crushed,
devastated or something to have her leave and go off. But then she did go back, right? Once?
Yes. She had three small boys. She went over. Stayed over for a year.
She took the three boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got a nice picture of the elementary school where Uncle John went to first grade. Mm-hmm. Big Marty showed it to us this summer, and I took a picture. It's a slide, it's not a snapshot. Mm.
So that would have been Uncle John and Uncle
Alan.
Alan
and Uncle Murray.
Aunt Elsie, when your father came here, he was working for somebody who grew grapes?
No.
He was working for a Mr. Brown who had, who was a gardener. Florist or something, I don't know. And then they started out together, my father and my Uncle William. Mm-hmm. And they had grape palmettos. And of course at that time there was no freezer service or anything of that kind. And there were no trucks to take things back and forth. Mansfield had a train right through from Boston to New York.
So when the Rockefellers had dinner in the New York hotels, they had Crampowitz's tomatoes. I'm guessing.
Probably true.
They grew them and shipped them into the big New York hotels.
Well, was that the same Brown that had the greenhouses here behind Paul's house?
That was Hope's grandfather. He had the straw shop.
But that
was Wrentham years later.
Wasn't their name Brown?
Name was Brown, yes. But the same Brown. This other one was over in Mansfield.
Because they grew grapes, too. They had beautiful grapes in the greenhouse out back.
He had my father come to take care of that greenhouse there.
Isn't that why they came to Wrentham?
Mm-hmm.
And that was another Brown. I didn't know there were two different Browns.
A lot of them, Ida.
Oh, I'm not coming, the peasant ones. Yeah,
It's coming off the edge. But if I turn it around, then it'll slide the other way.
Oh, maybe that'll be better. Okay, thank you.
Like that. Use my fingers. There.
I remember you telling me something about a hat shop.
Yes, that was straw shop. It made men's hats.
Mm.
Back in those days, you weren't a man unless you had a white straw hat. You've seen the kind they wear on movie shows.
We went over to the school.
They had a white straw hat for summer and a black derby for winter.
Mm-hmm. And they made those here?
They made the white straw hat.
The women's hats you said were made in Franklin, didn't you?
I don't think Franklin had any Foxborough.
The children at the school were asking her about the old straw shop that they had been reading about, Vincent, and told them about one picture I've seen of down at the lake. They used to have a Labor Day picnic, and here the men are in their suits and ties on the sailboat, and the ladies are in their long skirts and the big hats.
Yes.
On the sailboat, and Uncle Murray, who built the sailboat? Uncle Murray and...
Uncle Murray had one, and there was another one hung up on the bottom, along to some of the fellows in the wigwam.
When was the high school built? The one that's no longer there that I keep expecting to see when I drive by the corner.
When I graduated.
Yes, right.
About 1895.
Okay, so you attended high school there?
The old school building had been down.
Where the library is now. I see now. Which school did you go to?
Oh, the central one. It in 1895, there was practically no when I was.
That's the one that was by the church, you mean, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. And we. All the grades and the high school were all in that building.
And the town nurse and the selectman's offices and the town hall where we had all our dances and balls and
the basketball games.
Mm-hmm. And elections.
Yes. The old school building had burned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Where was the old one?
Down near where the library is now.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yes, and your father bragged that he was the last kid to slide down the banister in that school. That was always one of his boasts. They had some kind of a show, one of these traveling circuit things in that school building that night.
Mm.
And before morning, they had that fire. So I suppose something was left carelessly that night.
Burned it down.
Mm-hmm.
The year I graduated was the last year they had 12 grades in the center school.
Oh.
The next year Vogel School opened. In fact, our graduation was held in Vogel School.
Ah, right. Now you graduated in
38.
I came here to teach in
39.
I came here to teach in 43, so the Vogel School was just about, 4 years old then.
Mm-hmm. That was the year of the big hurricane that knocked the steeple off the church.
Mm, 38.
Right? That, 38. I was thinking it was about then.
Mm.
Took a lot of trees down, too, did it?
Took all the trees down.
Every other tree on South Street was right across the street.
Oh, I still had a big area, picnic area. That was pine trees, and the pine trees were heavy because they had the full load of top growth. Some of the other trees, the young trees, were pretty well diluted of their green by that time.
No, Mother, this was September still. They hadn't lost their leaves.
Was
that was why so many trees went down. The wind couldn't
bother them. They weren't so heavy. The pine trees
snapped off.
The pine trees snapped off more. They had more resistance to the wind, I guess, but the oaks and the elms all uprooted, and it was a terrible mess. We had people, Earl Stewart said he was up near town with his camera, and he didn't have presence of mind enough when the steeple blew off to get his camera on it. He just said, I just stood there with my mouth open. And I was uptown when there was this great, terrible, big flash. all the electricity, of course, went out with the big party. And it took us a half an hour to get from town just down home, and this was before that.
I thought you came through the back fields.
Well, my father met under Walters, where I got my ride home from school, and he stopped to get a paper, and that was when the wind really started to get bad. And then we had to come
downtown,
you know,
street and across the river, didn't you?
We couldn't come down the main street because the...
What did you have in the way of warning that the storm was coming?
None.
That was the year nobody had any wine, didn't it?
Well, nobody, no hurricane
no,
had ever come
no.
up here.
Yeah, never.
They always went out
Uncle
to sea before
thought
they
it was,
here.
You know, that they were getting all the wind. It was taking the roofs off the chicken coops.
Yeah.
And finally, he went out and turned on the car radio, and realized it wasn't just a local tornado or something. It was everywhere.
Well, we knew there was a hurricane down the south coast, but they always went out to sea. Mm. This time, it didn't go out to sea.
There's an exception to every rule.
So?
Uncle Walter was from here, wasn't he? His family was from here? Your husband?
They had been in Rentham for years. I don't, the first report Raymond could find on our house was when Walter's grandfather had bought the house in 1868.
Oh, my.
And they had come then from a place down, they called it Shepherdville then,
mm-hmm.
but it's really South Rentham.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anything
about that. They had lived down there for I don't know how long until that.
Ah.
But they have a George family history,
mm-hmm.
genealogy, that started in, the first recorded date is 1640-something, and that first was my eighth back grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And the that first woman grew to be 97 years old, and she had 13 children.
That
was some other than mine, thank you. She had 13 children and grew to be 97 years old.
Mm.
In those days, right after the Pilgrims.
Wow.
And they came to the area in
Hardystock.
Wasn't it Roxbury there?
I don't know.
Dorchester area, wasn't it?
It wouldn't register with me.
That was all part of Rentham. That was all part of the Dedham area then. What's the biggest change you think you've
seen in Rentham in all the years you've lived here? Automobiles coming, I guess.
Automobiles, I guess so. Daddy talks about how when he first came, when he was coming to visit, I guess when Grandma and Grandpa were in Detroit, when he would first come, that there was a horse and carriage that would meet him at the train station
mm-hmm.
and take him out
down
to
Winter Street.
Winter Street. So that changed as he got older.
Now he's not all that old either.
No, he's not. But that was... When did the first automobile... Do you remember seeing your first automobile?
Well, when I came to Rentham, there weren't any.
Yeah.
But just not long after, but before the straw shop man's son had a Stanley steamer, and I think the Weavers had the next car. We had two in town for quite a while.
Where'd they go for gas, I wonder?
I don't know.
That would hardly warrant a gas station.
Well, Mr. Brown's a steamer. I don't think they had gas in those, did they?
Oh, my.
What did they run on?
Steam,
I
guess.
That steam is hot water. Wood.
What?
It burned kerosene or something.
Hmm.
I don't know how it worked. I wasn't old enough to explore.
Very much. When did you have your first car?
When I was little.
Oh, this was a Ford Model A.
Mm-hmm.
So you can guess from
that.
Well, I think we had it when I was only, 5 or 6? I remember. When
you
did
didn't
start
have a, you, what did you use for transportation prior to that time?
Well, then I guess I was
feet. How novel.
The trolley went by the house.
Did
well, about by Grandpa George's house.
Oh, there was a trolley? To
yeah.
Rentham?
Yes.
Mm.
I never heard of that.
Oh.
Went right down Main Street, South Street.
Oh, yes.
Was it?
To Franklin.
Was it the Rentham? Oh, to Franklin. I was going to say, was it just
Franklin
local?
Franklin North Ambro.
Ambro. Ambro.
Oh.
Far, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, that was,
she was telling the children at school.
That was put through while I was in high school.
Oh.
And before that...
And we didn't have town water until then either. And electricity came a little later than that.
My goodness, lots of changes at once.
Yes.
Oh.
really did make quite a difference, right?
The open air trolleys. She was telling the children at school the other day about the open air trolleys that had, you just stepped up on the side of them. Tell them about those trolley cars.
The seat went all the way across, and you got in and slid in this way. And then go to ride and have a ride out in the open air.
Yes, that would be nice.
Lots of people just got on the floor and just go to ride.
What were the trolleys pulled by? Horses were electric cars?
Yes, they had the electric track and the wire and everything.
Yeah, okay.
But we didn't have the electricity wired to the houses until after that.
Could you go to the movies by trolley car?
Perhaps if they had movies.
First things first, after all.
They never had a movie in town, a movie house in town here at all.
Well, we never had any here.
Once in a while, the Odd Fellows or someone would rent a movie and run it in the Odd Fellows Hall. But did you go to the movies by trolley car? To Franklin?
Well, go to Franklin, yes. Went to North Attleboro once or twice.
So they did have...
They had
the
Piper of Hamelin down in North Attleboro. Half a dozen of them, swear.
Tell them what happened to the trolley car railroad ties.
I was going to say, this had everything.
What?
The railroad ties that the boys asked if they could have the ties on the trolley car track in front of our house.
That was after the trolley cars had left and we didn't even take the track out. And they were pulling up the track.
They were going to be
piling
the
up the sleepers, what you call them. And my kids was, and, you know, could we take some of those and make a log house out of them? Sure, we'd be glad to have you take them away. We'll have to do it if you don't.
Yeah.
So it happened there was a little snow on the ground. So they took their sled and went down, and each one got a sleeper on their sled and lugged it up and back. And they built it up and made a square, the one sleeper square, a log house. And they cut the little notches so the logs fitted together and made a nice little house there. And one of the boys that was working with them, his father had the lumber store uptown, and he had ends of roofing, so they, you know, the kind of roofing paper they used. And he got that put a roof on. And they play a little window on the inside, and they put on the door.
And they had a glass window
and
one window.
And they will go to sleep up there.
Yeah.
But you know, after a night or two, they decided there were too many skeeters living there.
It actually went upstairs. You could go up a ladder, and there were three little bunks.
Which
were made about
crawl.
3 inches high. The bunks were made of just a rectangle of wood and burlap tucked over it.
Yeah.
And then downstairs there were also three bunks tucked into the wall.
Oh my gosh.
And a stove which we weren't allowed to use, were we?
I don't remember much about the stove.
There was an iron stove in there somebody found it in the dump, I presume. There was a dump over behind it.
Not a dump, a treasure spot.
Yeah, it was a treasure spot.
A treasure spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, our kids grew up playing in that. Yeah, but I thought you might have remembered it. But maybe, no.
I don't remember.
No, I remember going to play it on Elsie's house.
Well, the best jack-o'-lantern pumpkin always came from that,
though. Oh, did.
Cranberries, too. My dad made a cranberry scoop, and he would go down, and, you know, with fingers. Somehow those cranberries got planted in the edge of the bog or the dump over there by the side of the dump.
Well, they didn't get many cranberries there, but there was a cranberry bog down by the Sportsman's Club.
And the best mud pie I ever made in my life was of a can of coconut that smelled really rancid, and some beautiful yellow mud, and I made a pumpkin pie with a coconut crust.
We used to get beautiful treasures out of Moss's dump at that time.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Elsie, I remember you telling me one story the last time I was here that I have just absolutely treasured, and that is of Grandpa, our grandfather, and all the kids going out for a Sunday afternoon walk.
Mm-hmm. He always took them, Charlie and me and Bob, he'd take us all, walk us about a mile or two around the lot, my mother would say, though, and go and much needed rest.
That was your great grandfather.
Yes,
that's
right.
And then a little later, when the twins arrived, he didn't take quite all of them, but he always pushed the baby carriage along, too.
Yeah, that was his, you said that our grandpa Bob pushed the baby carriage with Mary and Isabella in the carriage, and that coming back and seeing great-grandma Winter still sitting there with her cup of tea where she had been left having this brief respite.
And the dish of lime drops on the table beside her.
Oh, lime drops.
There was always a candy bowl of lime
drops. What? Yeah. When we visited as children, you had your choice of a lime drop or a whorehound.
Oh, yes. That's
another generation.
I turned the whorehounds off. Yeah. I went for the lime drops.
Now, on Winter Street, it was the pink peppermint. What are those things you can buy every once in a while?
Canada mints.
It's the only time we ever had
those.
And every once in a while, I'll see some of those in the store, and I always stop and buy some. I never tell my children because I don't buy candy. I'll eat them all.
Yes, I bought them the last time I was here. We don't have them at Dalloway.
Oh. Well, I had the lime drop dish, Ida.
Oh, you do.
Sorry about that.
Well, that and the velvet ribbon around her long, she had, her hair was so curly white, she wore it as a long bob all the time. I remember her mom, did she ever do her hair different? Mom, did Grandma Winter ever do her hair different? Mm. A long bob, nobody wore a long bob in those days.
Yeah.
But it was very curly, and she just had a black velvet ribbon tied around it, and she sat in that rocking chair by the window in the living room with the round table. Was in the center of the room, kind of beside her, and on the other side of the room was the old organ, which went to the Morgan Memorial.
Yeah.
Sad nowadays.
Yeah.
But he used to poke it.
Uncle
play.
John bought that organ with some of his first earnings.
Uncle John, did he play it? Did he play it?
No, Chris did, more or less.
Because Uncle John played the flute. I didn't know that until his last year. We were in Pennsylvania, we came up here and Teresa played her flute for Uncle John. She said he won't want it at all.
A little drink?
But he
Thank
had
you.
Played the
sure.
wooden flute he had. And now she
Did you help me to my second and I can relieve you?
And it made special. Here's the wagon now.
The what?
The wagon is coming down.
For
Thelma has to go home. Well, we went to the school Friday, and she told them a lot of things about the ice. Remember to tell them about the ice. You weren't here when they had the ice cutting down on the lake. Tell them about the ice down on the lake.
Well, this was down like that, but the, what we called the, well,
By Jones.
Sandy Beach, but then Sandy Beach got up the other end of the lake.
They know it as Jones's Beach.
Yeah.
Jones's, yeah. Right. The ice house was built up near the railroad track, and they put a run from there right down the hill into the lake with a chain drive.
Tell them it was an escalator and they'll know what it was.
Yeah.
And they'd bring horses in and cut the ice, float it over to the run, and push it on this and go up
and take it out.
Put it in the ice house and they'd cover that load with sawdust. Bring another load up and they'd pile it. It was a big ice house. Called it Providence Ice Company.
Oh, heaven's sakes.
I mean, railroad was thin cars on a little sidetrack that they made. And they'd load up ice and take it into Providence every day.
Isn't that neat? Yeah, before the days of electric refrigerators, probably. They just had ice boxes, sure.
Well, I asked Mother once. Anyway, right.
Well, I mean, it used to be we could always skate on Lake Archer, but you'd have a snow and then a rain, and it would make this slushy ice freeze, but be rough. And she said, well, the reason was they always cut another patch of ice, and that would freeze over. There was another ice house. Do you know where the diving tower is?
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
That way.
On that end of the lake, too, which was near our cottage.
Where did that ice go, Mom?
Mr. McGaw, the town man, cut that himself and loaded it by cart around to the town.
Oh.
But the ice house that was up back by the railroad station, the town didn't use any of that at all?
No, that was Providence Ice Company.
Oh, I guess I thought that was where the town ice came from, because I knew both ice houses were there.
No, Mr. McGaw had the one down at the other end, and he had a smaller ice house, but it was enough to keep the town.
And it came all around in the wagon, and they had to cut the block the size of your ice chest to go in the door of your ice chest. Some of them were small squares and some of them were the big top.
Yes,
and then after he had it all cut and everything.
Tongs that would hook onto a weighing machine.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd weigh the ice and he'd take a bucket of water and flush the sawdust off.
I told him.
And bring it in and put it in your refrigerator. Lock down the weight. The end of the week or the end of the month or something, you'd pay him the amount of ice you used. But when Ida was in Panama, she had an ice box. And they loaded the ice from Panama, and she was quite a ways out from the main city. So by the time the ice, they weighed it in Panama, by the time the ice got out to where she was, half the weight was already built in.
Oh dear! That was only until our things came.
She had that fresh ice every day, but our ice man only came every second day.
What did you use for heating when you first moved into your house?
Oh, coal or wood.
Was that delivered by cart?
Oh, no.
You chopped your own wood?
We didn't have any such things as cart.
Well, cart.
Cart.
Horse and wagon?
Horse and wagon.
It came by train out to a coal dealer out in the town. And then you had to go there and order your ton of coal.
Yeah.
And he'd bring it, if you had a summer there, you could dump it in the window by the put a slide in and put it right down into your cellar.
So you had a coal bin in the cellar.
They dump it by the side of the road and you had to load it in yourself.
Oh, gee.
Now, do you remember when the station was up there?
No, I don't.
Behind Winter Brothers was the railroad station.
Daddy has told me, and I guess I remember sometime in the long distant past, I remember seeing a brick wall down there that had Winter Brothers on it. I don't think that is still there.
Well, down near there was the railroad station, but there also was a big coal shed down there, remember? Where you could order the coal of the different sizes that you wanted for your furnace or for your...
Different
size
coal?
Sizes of coal.
Oh, yeah. I never knew there was different size coal.
Hard coal or soft coal.
Oh, but chestnut or egg or furnace coal.
What would you use the different sizes for?
Well, some people preferred one and some the other.
Now, didn't they
better
use,
taste.
Did they ever use coal in the fireplaces here like Marty does in Scotland, or did?
What's the garbage? No, they used wood in the fireplaces always up here, I think. I never heard of anybody burning coal.
Now, did you cook on wood? You cooked on wood for a long time.
Well, in the summertime, in the winter, we always used the coal because we could keep that going overnight.
Right.
In the summer, you could start up a hot wood fire and cook short time and let the fire go out.
Right, right.
What did you do for laundry, Aunt Elsie? You had quite a few children.
You had a tub and you had a scrub board.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
You didn't change your clothes frequently.
Did you follow when we were children, we learned sort of a rhyme about
Today is Monday, wash day, all you little children.
I think every day was wash day.
That's what I'm wondering. Could you go away?
Yes, it would have to be when the children were small.
And then
a big
wooden folding clothes rack to put around the stove because it was cold or rainy.
Sometimes it rained.
Oh, my. Did you have your children at home, or did you go to a hospital?
All of them at home.
All of them at home. And the doctor came to the house.
He came after
if he got there
I was
in
born.
Time. Yes, right. Not quite in time, huh?
Neither my father nor my doctor were there when I was born.
Ida didn't bother to have a doctor.
No. Always were an independent sort, Ida.
Just in a hurry.
Yes, that's right. How old were you when the twins were born?
When what?
When the twins were born.
Well, I was 10.
Do you remember that?
Well, I remember taking care of them when they were holding the bottle for them, and I hold that thought.
I can imagine that there would have been no way at that time to know that your mother was going to have twins.
No, they didn't know.
It must have been quite a surprise.
Well, they were born on April
4th. I've always thought that was so funny. And her 40th birthday was something like 2 days after that, I think.
No.
April 3rd?
7th of April.
7th of April.
She had the same birthday that Beth White did.
Oh. Did she? I didn't know that. Oh, okay. I haven't connected that. But I knew that her birthday of turning 40, April Fool's Day, and twins all came right at the same time. Did she have a good sense of humor, your mother?
Well, yes, pretty good, but it wasn't very much funny in those days.
Honestly, it was probably quite unusual to have twins and have them live, was it? I mean, twins were not...
It was the first pair of twins that had been born in Mansfield for a long time, and there were... Funny part of it, there were two more pairs arrived within the next few months.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Must have been the water that year.
were the twins very small when they were born, or do you remember that?
One was 5 pounds, just an ounce over 5 pounds, and one was an ounce less than 5 pounds.
Oh, well, that's right. Very
do you remember size. Which was which? Aunt Isabella always said...
Mary was the oldest and Isabella was the heaviest, I think.
I thought Aunt Isabella always said she had the fattest face.
Oh, I've got a ball, I say that.
Please, I forgot to try one of those.
Don't you? Mary tried to tease them, tell them they'd got mixed up and they were little. Mary was Isabella and Isabella was Mary. So they were quite disturbed about it.
Now, your parents had 9 children,
mm-hmm.
and they all survived.
I'm the only survivor now.
Yes, but I mean, they all grew to adult, healthy, child, through, that's remarkable, I think.
That's really amazing, because so many children died young at young ages in those days.
Well, that was because they were not cared for quite so properly. Scottish training was...
Served you well, huh?
I think so.
In fact, if she had a miscarriage or anything, it probably wasn't mentioned.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. At Christmas time, did everyone gather together?
Well, we were together anyway. We had to.
Yeah, I guess so.
But
what did you do? Did you have a Christmas tree?
Christmas wasn't. No. Christmas wasn't very much celebrated in those days.
Didn't they have
a Christmas tree at the church.
Yes.
I was going to say, didn't you have a church service that was Christmas was more church?
And
it should be.
Each child was presented with one of these square boxes of hard candy in them.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you were little?
Yeah.
Oh, they did it when I was little.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was carried on for quite a number of years before the children outgrew that box of hard candy.
And then as we got a little, as we were growing up, we were very fortunate to have the Georges and the Winters be double cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would go to Grandma Winters in the evening for their Christmas gifts. We had Christmas Eve down at Grandma Winters. And then Christmas morning we would have our own Christmas trees. And then we all got together for Christmas dinner at Aunt Fanny's. And it was, we'd have 40 or 45 for Christmas dinner. And that was before Robert used to live out here.
And
your dad.
Yeah. Christmas Eve, and then after that, May came.
All of the Winter Georges went up to Aunt May's in the evening, and then the Kirktons were gathered too, see. So we had 70 up there in the evening.
Oh, my
And
goodness.
She always had either a movie, they had a movie machine before anybody else in town, and she had Felix the Cat.
Love to have him. Reverse the movie.
Sure.
Yes.
We did that at Jimmy's the other
night. That's right. We did that.
Sliding downhill, and see him come sliding uphill.
Jimmy Ronan was showing us pictures the other night, and we had them reverse them on a museum.
They weren't taking pictures yet at the early times.
Well,
those
were some that they had taken themselves.
But
they did have
the
films that they hired. One was, what was it?
Goldilocks with her tears popping up into her eyes.
Tears were popping up into her eyes.
And then there was the magician. What was his name? He lived down Sheldonville way, and she hired him several times for Christmas because, all the kids and grown-ups and everybody enjoyed that, and then the kids would go out and take naps, and the grown-ups would still play games. We played parlor games a lot, too, as we grew
charades
older.
And
Yeah. And there was one nursery school game, I mean nursery rhyme game that Uncle Murray knew every nursery rhyme you ever heard of.
Oh, a man of my own heart.
He was the champ at that. That's a banister we didn't slide down.
No, you'd have a rather rude awakening if you hit the bottom too fast.
What the?
I said, you didn't. I did.
Oh, no, I never did.
You did when Aunt May was out on occasion.
Oh.
The truth will out.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the earliest thing you remember, Aunt Elsa?
Oh, I don't know. I guess going to school the first day.
Yeah.
That was in the old schoolhouse. And I had not, I don't know, I guess I was kind of a timid kid anyway. But my sister was 2 years older, and she took me and shoved me in the school. And we sat in these, there were seats this way, the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the desk was this way. And we sat two together. I don't remember who was my first seatmate, I'm sure. And then one night I was awake part of the night with an earache, and in the morning my mother said, I better not go to school, my ear might bother me. So I didn't go in the morning, but it didn't bother me through the morning. So she sent me to school in the afternoon, and I guess the teacher said, I thought I was beginning to look kind of sad, when she came down and asked me if I was all right, and I said, I think my ear aches. And she took me up and held me in the lap for a while. And sometime or other I fell asleep, apparently, because when I waked up I was sitting in the guest chair beside her. And the other kids were standing around the row watching me wake up. They thought it was quite a joke, apparently. My sister would come in to get me, take me home, and they had to wake me up.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
God. Did you have good teachers in school?
Oh, they were awfully good.
Yeah.
They really were born to be teachers, and they stayed teachers all their life, both of them.
Yeah.
Now, teachers weren't allowed to get married in those days, were they?
No.
No, because my mother-in-law was a teacher, and when she first
they
started teaching,
never
she wasn't allowed to get married.
Anyone, no.
Yeah.
But we had a... I can remember the first one was Miss Eastman, and the second one was Miss Pelt. There were two grades in each school, in each room.
Mm.
And the third one was Miss Sheldon, and the fourth one was Miss Blake, and the next one was Miss Grover. And then came Jack Berry.
Oh, a change of scene.
He was supervisor of the whole building. And he was he'd been there for 40 years before that, I think.
Oh, my.
And he was a really strict teacher. Oh, we weren't allowed to whisper anybody, or move or anything in school. If anybody laughed or anything, they got sent out in the hallway. He carried a black walnut ruler.
Ooh.
That he used. And one day, he used to go prowling around the corridors, see if he could catch anybody in the corridors misbehaving. Up in our room, he was so antiquated, we used a slate and pencil.
Oh.
And a sponge.
Oh, slate and chalk.
We had to wet the sponge, of course, uh-huh. at the faucet and wash our slates off. And better not take me when my mouth is too open.
Okay. When did you get
it? Well, there was a big fellow, his name was Rector. And there was a little fellow that I called Legs, his name was Liam Grant. And Rector got his sponge all nice and wet. And when Liam started to come over with his, Rector started throw his at the other boy. And it just happened that Mr. Berry had put his head around the corner of the door, and it hit him square in the face. Things happened then.
Out with the ruler.
Well, there were quite a group of us in the schoolroom, and we didn't know whether we did laugh or not.
What did you do?
I think we laughed inside, didn't we?
Tried to look civilized outside.
Oh, dear.
Now, well, how many years did you go to school? 12 years, then?
Well, no.
Were there 12 years in the school?
9 years there. No. Then I came up here and started high school when I got here.
But it went through 12 grades of school.
Nine grades out there. They had only 3 grades in high school, in 3 years in high school there.
Yeah. Were there many kids who would go off to college after you finished 12 years?
The school superintendent's daughter went.
Uh-huh.
And the daughter of the couple of the manufacturers went. There weren't very many went. I don't know any of the boys in the class that I was in who went to college. And it is,
when you finished high school, what was the expectation of a girl to do?
Well, one or two of them went to college, but not very many.
Would you get a job here in Rentham?
There were some people who went to work in the straw shop. They had the one room where the ladies put the band and the bowl on the side of these straw hats, and the little, there used to be a little tape or something that was tied in the back of the inside to hold the lining together or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they used to make those little bows and sew them on. So a few of them went to the straw shop, but more of them, I think, went down to Plainville and after North Elbert and jewelry shops.
Oh, okay. But would you have many of the young women marrying at 18 right out of high school? Would that have been the custom or not?
Not enough. In our generation, they mostly waited until they were in their 20s before they married. Of course, once in a while, somebody would make an earlier start, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I know our grandmother was, I think she was 29 or 30 when she married, which was, I think, even rather late at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandpa...
Well, I was 27.
Yeah, well, then maybe it wasn't. I guess maybe people were much more sensible then and saved up their money and planned ahead. And you say when you were working in the office, what office were you working in? At Winter Brothers?
Winter Brothers. Yes, I went right from school into the shop office.
Oh, okay.
Chris had been doing it, but she was anxious to get into Boston.
Uh-huh.
So the minute I was able to start in, she went on with her Boston work.
Okay, and what did Aunt Chris do in Boston?
Oh, she had been taking some evening lessons with a teacher of shorthand and typing. She got a clerical place in Boston.
I see.
And went on with the evening studies and so forth until she teaching school the next thing. Then she went out to California with a friend who's asthma so badly that since she had to change her location.
Mm-hmm.
And she
was that Olive Higgins?
Yes.
I don't know why I remember that name. Olive Higgins. And she was a nurse, wasn't she?
Yes.
And
she was nursing my sister.
Yes, because she got pernicious anemia, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm not going to die in California.
Yes.
And did they drive home together?
They didn't drive, they came on the train.
Olive Higgins had a car sometime. Maybe it was later on.
Yeah, well, this would have been pretty early, I think. But didn't the man who developed the cure for pernicious anemia...
It was just about the time that Chris came home.
He lived in Boston.
She went into Boston. One man's name was Murphy. I've forgotten what the other one was.
Lee. I think it was a Dr. Lee.
Yeah.
Anyway, they kept track of her progress from then right on to the time she died.
Yeah.
I think it was three or four months after he found that the liver would cure it.
Yeah. Well, I remember as a child trying to explain to people that my father ate raw liver, and the reason that he ate raw liver was because everyone in the family had eaten raw liver to humor Aunt Chris. they didn't.
We never ate raw liver, but she
Daddy did.
Perhaps he did.
He did. He did for years. He always, once a week, he ate raw liver. Mother would cut out have a little piece for old time's sake or something.
She would put it through the food peach over and mix it with orange juice.
Ugh. Honestly. Well,
that was a daily dose.
Oh, my God. And it was a pound a day, wasn't it?
I don't remember exactly.
It was an awful lot.
Then after a while, these doctors invented some serum, whatever.
During Second World War, they developed the B-2. B-12.
Yeah, the way to...
Which is also
they could give her instead of the... Instead
so
of
how,
the,
how many years did she eat that raw liver then?
Oh, well, they invented this other thing and gave her that, but she said that tasted worse than the liver did.
Oh, gee.
It was bitter. And then after a while, they invented the injection.
Yeah.
And she had to keep taking the injection all her life.
Now, was that once a day or every week?
No, sometimes she could, after a while, she could go 2 weeks. She had to go every second week to have it.
But during World War II, she had her liver ration. When the rest of us didn't have meat, she had her, because it was medicine, she had the same butcher. They were in Cambridge then.
Ah, had the same butcher all the year. Should you know that?
Absolutely.
A group of treasures.
And Elsie, what do you remember of our father as a young boy?
Well, when he was very small, my mother used to laugh. They lived in Woonsocket when he was born. And Delma brought him down here, just visiting. I think she was staying at Aunt Fanny's at the time. That was down on South Street. So Delma got him in the carriage and took him up to see my mother. And this was in the morning after he had his morning nap. And they'd stay there until it was time for him to go home and get his noon meal. You know, Delma looked at the clock. She said, "Oh my goodness, it's nearly 12 o'clock, and Robert has to have his noon meal at promptly at 12. So she got him in the carriage, and she started practically running to the home. And my mother said, "As if those 2 minutes would make a difference in Robert's meal." Of course, diabetics are supposed to have their meals right on time, but...
he wasn't ever diabetic.
He was so... they couldn't find the right food for him.
Yeah.
And for almost 6 months, he grew longer, and he was as happy and cheery. He never fussed.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem to gain weight.
Yeah. He didn't. Well, he weighed 13 pounds a year.
And then suddenly, I guess when he began to take a little more solid food, perhaps, something took hold and began to develop.
Of course, he never got very heavy.
He never gained so much.
He weighed 113 at 30.
Sort of worried about it when it was really small. But he seemed so healthy and so happy always.
Yeah.
And he just didn't seem to get the right stuff to put any pressure on him.
Was he always pretty good-natured?
Yes. More good-natured than average boy, I think. That was one thing we couldn't understand, because he just didn't seem to be properly nourished, but it didn't worry him any.
Mm-hmm.
But did he ever, and I've never heard one even small story of mischief about my father.
Well, we didn't really see very much of it, because of course they went from Woonsocket, they went out to Detroit.
Yes, yes. Yes, but by the time they came back, he was pretty grown up.
He was quite grown up.
Yes.
And his grandfather White approved of it, so that was something Grandfather White had strong opinions about boys.
I see.
Well, or else then, how many, I'll go off with you then.
Yes, I don't think he ever did very much in the mischief line.
Yes.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Did they come back some summers, even when they were out in Detroit?
Oh, yes.
So you would see them down at the camp and so forth during the summer?
Yes, they would.
Oh, I waited for Bob to come every summer.
At Winter Street in the summertime, usually.
Yes, I bet he looked forward. Can you tell us a little bit about when Aunt Fanny and when you bought the camps down on Lake Archer and so forth?
Built.
Oh, when the railroad was put through.
Which was when?
That was only about 1890.
Oh.
They said that when the railroad wanted to be put through, they tried to get right of way through Rentham, and Rentham wouldn't give them the right of way. They didn't want foreigners coming into their town. So that's when the railroad was put through Mansfield, from Boston through Mansfield to Providence in New York. So it was 1890 before they got the railroad through here. Before that, they'd use stagecoach to get anywhere. And, when they finally did get the right of way, they took all the property from where the railroad was right down to the lake edge. And all the way down, clear to Wampum Corner, I guess.
All belonged to the railroad.
And so, two or three of the boys in town that used to have a little extra money somehow got the right to build a little cabin down at the lake and have a boat down there so they could go out sailing. You know, I guess it was a rowboat they had. Well, that was fine, and then they had another, built another, no, the first one was Mr. Rogers' rowboat, I guess. That was right on the place where the Jones's Beach was. Then there was what they called the Owls. That was the young bloods of the town built quite a
You
nice
mean ship. My father was an owl?
No.
How about the Winter Brothers? Were they owls?
Nice little cabin. And then Murray and the boys thought they would like to have a place down the lake. So they dickered with the railroad. You could lease this small section for, was it $25 a year we paid?
Oh,
was it as much as that?
Much more than that. They didn't have it.
Well, anyway, they built just a little boathouse. But it was big enough so that...
Boat and bathhouse, wasn't it?
You could change clothes in there.
We had a hammock struck across the middle of it and a swing hammock out on the porch, and then they built a little boathouse to house the canoe. And they built a sailboat that they tied up out in front, so we had quite a fleet by that
regatta
time.
Yes. Now that was later where Helen Keller used to go down and
well,
swimming.
Tell them what you told the kids yesterday, Friday, about Helen Keller.
Well, they asked if I knew Helen Keller. I said, well, I didn't know her very well, but I said, we had a boathouse down at the lake, and they wanted a place where they could go in swimming, and my brother had given them the key to our boathouse so they could use it in the afternoons, because we were all working and wouldn't be using it unless it was in the evening or on the weekend. So they used to go down there and go in swimming. She and Miss
Annie?
Annie.
Annie Sullivan?
Sullivan,
yeah. I'll have to tell my girls that because they're just fascinated by her biographies.
Yeah.
Well, Aunt Chrissy and Mother knew Ann Sullivan better, I think, than they knew Helen Keller.
And then there were several cottages built along that shore on that same idea of leasing the little square, just the little plot of land. And so my husband started working by that time, and he was going to have a cottage. So he
wasn't your husband yet.
No, by that time, no, he wasn't. He and an uncle of his got together and built it themselves. Of course, Murray and Charlie built the boathouse by themselves too, but that was just a one-story affair. But Walter, more ambitious, he built a really cottage with two floors.
Sure.
And he had a big main room with just a kitchen,
yes,
and two big bedrooms upstairs. So,
and what year was that, roughly?
Oh, it must have been about 1900, I should say.
He was about 15 when he started it.
It wasn't.
He was about 15. I know he was in his teens when he started it.
It wasn't as early as 1900. Must have been 1901, I guess, or two.
Well, how long before you were married?
1912.
I think I was still in school when they were building the cottage. I graduated in 1903.
Well, you knew Uncle Walter for many, many years before
you
got married?
Yes, they lived here in town. And his sister was, yes, his two sisters were in the group that we were around with always. And our two brothers, and Beth and Delma and their brother, we made a group all by ourselves.
I see. Well, did young men propose to young women in those days?
The silver plaque.
Why, I suppose they did.
The silver plaque. Did you get proposed to? Did you get proposed to?
Well,
I can't really imagine my father getting down on his knees.
I don't think he ever did.
Not until afterwards, huh?
He did get down on his knees to put my skates on sometimes.
That really meant something in those days, huh?
Yes.
Well, what
you
kind
had
of...
an understanding then?
You just have to see me home from church Sunday night or something.
Mother's
brother did too.
Uncle Alden?
Mm-hmm.
He did, and you turned him down.
Yeah,
you rejected him.
I didn't know that.
No,
I didn't know that.
I never
up in
had
the closet,
a to do it.
In a box of old pictures, there's some pictures of Uncle Alden and a poem Uncle Alden wrote to her.
Oh, really?
I remember when I was so big reading
that. Oh, I would love to see that sometime.
Not only that, but Uncle Al, one of the auntie twins. I was told that by...
Oh, we may have liked her, but it wasn't anything serious in that.
Well, somebody told me that, even with the Winter George and the Winter George, and there could have been another Winter George.
Well, I think it's getting close to birthday party time.
Yes, I
think
it must be.
For us, so
it was to take mother first.
Maybe some of you recognize this.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elsie. Happy birthday to you.
We have to repeat.
Let's say it again. Second chorus. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elsie. Happy birthday to you.
I hope you made your wish.
You're right there.
I don't know.
Isn't that lovely? Isn't that a make that cake?
Beautiful.
That's all right.
I wanted to show it to people.
Yes, did you make it?
All the things I need.
Partly doing. Not doing nothing, but partly not making a fuss.
Dorothy, have you and Elsie known each other for a long time?
Oh!
Well, she was your first niece, wasn't she?
Yes. Yeah, I'm the antique niece.
She always signs her cards from your antique cousin.
Yeah. Of 1492 or something like that.
Well, were you born in...
I can remember when she used to work in Winter Brothers' office when it was just a little bit of a factory.
She's from North Alabama.
I live in North Alabama. I used to live in that house over there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. How old was I when I left here? About 5 years old, I guess, or 6 years old when I left Rentham. I went to school up here to the first grade to Miss Randall, and did I? Oh, I didn't like her.
Oh, were you afraid of her?
I didn't like her at all.
I said, were you afraid of her?
I guess so.
Sometimes children are.
I thought it was too bad when they took down the large yellow school.
So did we all.
Yes, I thought that was a shame.
Why was it taken down?
Why? Well, why was it taken down, Mom? You live here.
Well, the building is a two-story building, and they thought that was not just the same as the school nowadays. And it needed painting, and it needed repairs on the roof. And they decided that if they took the money for that and put it into a new building, it would be
fine. Does he want to take it?
So they just put it all down.
Yeah, yeah.
No hurry.
And work at any time. You've got a lot to plan, you know. You all got to get together.
No.
Yes.
No, Pat.
Easier to build a new one.
I know.
Nancy and Robin are leaving first, built, as I told you, in 1896, and so it was getting to be nearly a year old, not quite 75 years old. And they thought the best thing to do was have a new building.
Yes.
So that's that.
But we felt bad to have that go down.
Dorothy, were you born? Were
I
you
was born in Providence.
In what year? 1900?
Yeah, 1901.
Oh, 1901.
You're making her older than she is.
And then I moved to Rentham when I was about 3 months old. And lived up the top end of Lake Archer in one of those.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, up by Red Farm?
This side of Red Farm.
This side of what was
it? I don't know.
Oh, Dr. Vogel's house.
This side of Dr.
No, White House this side.
I see.
Okay.
Right
now. Oh, I know. Howard Moulton lived there when I was.
And then I moved down on Canton Street. And I don't know whose
Jenny
house.
Jenny Ierson's house.
You're Jenny across the street from me, I think.
Way back it was Jenny Ierson. That's who lived there.
Was it?
Jenny Ierson.
You're across the street from me, I think.
Oh, then when you lived on Taunton?
No, I lived
across the street.
Yeah, that was Mom. That was my mother.
Yeah, but I didn't. Where did John live?
I lived quite a ways down Taunton Street.
It was...
Past the school? I mean, the school wasn't there then.
Baby Gilmore lived. Do you know where Baby Gilmore lived?
This side of the old ice house people. Yeah. McGaw's. Yeah, I lived
there. I know where it was.
near the McGaw House. That's where I lived.
On our side of the street.
Then I moved from there over here, and then from there to North Arbor.
And how old were you when your mother died?
Oh, I was quite some age.
Yeah, my 30s. Just through high school, about.
Oh yes, I was.
Yes.
Yes. Quite a licking when you're all alone.
Then
my mother died in Florida when we were down there, going to spend the winter.
Oh.
Yeah, there was only 2 days, and she developed pneumonia.
Oh.
And we brought her body home on the train.
Oh, how sad.
That was an awful licking for me.
And then you took care of Uncle John. I mean, you took care of the house and everything for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I've been housekeeper and chauffeur and everything, because Father's eyes gave out.
I remember he didn't see well, but oh boy, his mind was sharp.
She was a wonderful daughter.
I've been kind of busy when I was younger. but I don't regret it.
No, we still cherish that time when we came up to Pennsylvania, and he was ill, but he was still just as sharp as could be.
Yeah, he was very bright, too.
Oh, yes. Because that was Christmas.
And then Peg's husband preached at my father's funeral service.
Yes, yes.
He visited. My father passed away in the Madonna Manor, because I got so I couldn't take care of him. And I asked Peg's husband, I said, the time is coming. Will you take charge of the funeral for me? He said, I'd love to do it. So he did. So it made it very nice that I could have somebody
in
the family do it. So that made it very nice for me.
Yes. Dorothy, what is the secret of living so long so healthily? How do you stay so healthy?
Well, I used to do... I used to work out in the yard, clean my own car, and I did all kinds of things, but I can't do it anymore.
You have to go up the chandelier is the trouble.
Do you remember the first movies you went to?
First movies I went to?
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. North Attleboro.
That's where the theater was, wasn't it? North Attleboro, the first movie house?
Yes, that was the first movie house around here, wasn't it? Listen, my mother took the twins when they were young to a movie, when they came to spend a weekend at our house. We took them to the movies. But it was a very simple movie house, I'm telling you that.
How many seats?
I couldn't tell you that. It was a stable at one time.
How much did it cost?
Well, I guess.
A quarter.
Phillips Stable, you know, the horses.
On Saturday afternoon.
Oh, they did have Saturday afternoon movies.
Oh, yes. That's when the kids all went.
Not in this town, did they? Huh? Except when they had...
In town, it was Thursdays.
Oh, was it? You remember that? I don't.
That was Thursday night.
Because I never had any money.
And sometimes when they had a movie, like a Tom Mix movie, they would have a showing after school, too.
Because that was all right for the kids to see.
Yeah.
Didn't they have movies at Lake Pearl when I was a kid?
Town hall.
Yes, down in the amphitheater.
That
hollow right at the edge of the lake, they had seats. And the stage was almost on the shore of the lake. And they had, something to show there once in a while. I guess it was every Saturday.
Now, that old motorboat that they used to have on Lake Hill, Murray and Father used to work on the motor on that. If something went wrong, they'd send the motor down to Winter Brothers, and they'd work on it and get it going again.
They were the town mechanics. Well, was Lake Pearl Park then an amusement park or just a picnic area?
It was a picnic area.
See, when I remember it, it was a big amusement park with the merry-go-round.
Of course, the hurricane. 1938 hurricane did a lot of damage in that
car. That ruined the amusement park. They used to have a bowling alley, an outdoor bowling alley, and horses to ride.
I think that dance hall has been made over twice, hasn't it, anyway?
Oh, I'm sure.
She wants to know if Jesse Curtis still lives there with you. No.
No, she doesn't.
Then they had a nice restaurant there.
She lives in another place in Foxborough.
Well, they had big picnics, and when they had big picnics, they...
Oh, the orange men used to come out on the train.
Oh, I can remember.
Serve clam chowder for the whole group or something of that kind.
The orange men, once a year, the train with the orange men would come out...
Right at the foot of your street there.
Like, on Creek Street, right at the train bridge.
Yeah.
And they would all get off and go trooping down with their band. They had the band, and they'd all go trooping down to the park.
Riot or they behave themselves nicer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was nice.
I mean, maybe there was a lot of drinking, I don't know, but when they came back, the train picked them up and took them back to Boston again.
Well, didn't the train always used to stop there most once a day anyway, didn't they, or was it weekends?
Not at Creek, well,
they may have in the summer.
It might be in the summer, because the station was uptown.
Yes.
The train station was uptown. It may be that in the summer, Weinstein's okay.
Never.
Hey.
And I said, don't bother with me.
We can't hear. Weinstein's Hotel, the Jewish hotel down on this side of the lake.
There was a lot of people went there.
Loads of people came out to that also on weekends all summer.
Now they had a fire there, didn't they?
Yes, that burned down, I think, after I was it after?
Oh, a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was a long time ago anyway. Yeah, and last week we went down to Joanne's. Beth's daughter Joanne has a cottage down on Lake Pearl now.
Remember the nice coconut cakes we used to get at Lake Pearl?
I'm not sure yet.
Next coconut cakes. They made them there.
And then on to Lois and Bob's.
Oh, he made, Enigren made wonderful coconut cakes. They were noted for all around. Yes.
My father's Aunt Ella worked down there on the merry-go-round ticket booth for a while. Aunt Ella? Yeah. So we would go down and get five rides on the merry-go-round when we were kids.
Yeah, that merry-go-round was a little too small for me. I'd get kind of dizzy on it.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I still love merry-go-round.
You do.
When was your first car, Dorothy? Do you remember?
My first car. It was a Buick. And he got it in Franklin.
What year was that?
Now, I don't know. I can't remember.
Was that after you?
I've driven a car since 1918. I drove before I got out of high school. I didn't have to take any license. If I drove 500 miles, I got license.
Oh, isn't that something? Just thought of, how did you prove you went 500 miles?
There was nothing to prove.
And
I used
to take a test.
My mother and I get in the car and drive my father up to Winter Brothers and leave him there. I couldn't turn around. I had to go up one street and down the other. That's the only way I turned around.
Did your mother drive?
No, she never drove, but she had the nerve to sit in with me. We were good. But of course, there wasn't the traffic today.
The car drove down the road. He was all right.
That's the way I learned to drive.
To protect the ship.
But you didn't have four-lane highways then.
Oh, no.
Did you have to have a license from the very beginning to drive a car?
I don't know. I didn't have much
never
to do with it then.
Yes.
But I know it wasn't very much to do.
Yes.
Did you get a license test of any kind to get a license?
Well, later, but you had to say, you know, just go into the town office and say, so give your name.
But then
people can't believe it, but that's the way it was.
And then you just renewed it. So you never took a test.
Oh, yeah, it's just that. You know, they went down 500 miles. Well, that is good. Tell them you went down 500 miles.
That's what she said, yes.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. Were there any speed limits?
No, nothing in those days. I don't remember any speed limit. We didn't have too many policemen around, only in the town.
I don't think I ever did.
They were just walking down the street.
I'm not here. I mean,
I want to do this. I remember telling you.
It's 4:10 in the afternoon. We've just finished with Aunt Elsie's wonderful birthday party. So many people were here. We had such a wonderful time. And we're going to have to say goodbye to one and all. Adios.
Goodbye. Goodbye. It's been wonderful being with you.
Say who you are.
Oh, I'm Nancy Hatch. Goodbye.